Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. This is Mordechai Plotzker, and tonight's share is on Parshas Emor. So thank you all for joining. There's a theme in Emor that I learned many years ago in the Medrash, and I heard a share from Rabbi Elie Mansour that resonated nicely, and I hope to be able to convey that to you this evening. So I would just like to take a step back, and if you were to imagine that you were given a crystal ball, and you were able to go back and see the past and the distant future. And imagine for a moment, it's 77 years ago, it's May 9th, 1945, and news reports announced that Hermann Göring, the commander-in-chief of the Luftwaffe, president of the Reichstag, head of the Gestapo, the successor to Hitler, is taken prisoner by the U.S. 7th Army in Kitzbühel, Bavaria. And despite the blood on his hands, Göring was able to relinquish his weapon, his PPK pistol, and then he was given a pack of cigarettes, and then he was allowed under armed guard to return to his cottage, change into a military uniform, hold a press conference that was able to attract a lot of soldiers, including men from the legendary 101st Airborne Division that took him capture. Now, when we think about this story, we think that providing a monstrous war criminal, someone who contributed to the brutal death of 6 million Jews, somebody who was responsible for the deaths of not only his own countrymen, countless others across the world, he was given deferential treatment. And what should have been done was that he should have been given a severe beating, put in isolation. And so the decision by the U.S. military is really a disturbing one. But if we were to go back in history, maybe about 2,000 years or so, we might find a sad precedent, something that happened to us during the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, we know that Shlomo HaMelech was given the instruction by Shmuel to execute Agag in the army of Amalek. We know that Shaul was a descendant from Sheva ben Yamin, and the proximity, as in Shmuel Aleph reveals to us, is that Shaul was the tribe of Benjamin. Sheva ben Yamin was adjacent or right next to Shevet Yehuda. And so Shaul recruited 10,000 men from Shevet Yehuda, and he went to fight Agag. And so there was a very fierce battle, but Shaul was successful. He vanquished the army of Amalek. But he decided to spare Agag and his finest livestock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very displeased by this decision. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu informed Shmuel HaNavi that Shaul's time as king has come to an end. And then now Shmuel HaNavi had to convey this message over to Shaul and also to find David to anoint him. So Shmuel couldn't sleep all night. And the following morning, Shmuel set course to visit Shaul on the battlefield. And he delicately conveyed this divine order. And as Shmuel approached the camp of Shaul, he questioned Shaul why he heard the sounds of cattle and livestock, and why Agag was still alive. And Shaul replied that he decided to have mercy on his peer Agag and to offer the livestock as a sacrifice. Now Shmuel wasted no time and approached Agag and said, "As your sword made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And then he slew Agag. And this clearly is not the job of a Navi, of a prophet, but since Shaul was reluctant to do so, and since Shaul had showed mercy, we know that the epilogue is quite damaging because Agag was able to procreate that evening, and he became the ancestor of Haman, who terrorized the Jews with the plan of annihilation, and that's all in Megillas Esther. And it's also interesting that to combat Haman, Mordechai and Esther were both descendants of the house of Shaul, right? It says Mordechai ben Shimon kish ishimini, from the tribe of Yemini, which refers to Binyamin. Right? So it was Mordechai and Esther that had to work together in order to unwind Shaul's decision. But it wasn't an easy one, and it came at great cost. It came with a lot of agmas nefesh. So we know that a short while later, in Perachov Beis of Shmuel Aleph, David is on the run, and Shaul is feeling a little bit neurotic about the fact that he's not able to capture David. And Doeg Adomi reveals to him that it wasn't too long ago that David visited the town of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. This is a town of priests, you know, people that are Kohanim. That's all there was. 85 families, 85 Kohanim. And they came out and they approached Shaul and they were wearing their ephod. They were wearing linen garments. That means that they were probably involved in some form of avodah. And Shaul asked them, "Is it true that you're harboring a fugitive like David, and that you gave him the sword of Goliath, and that you gave him provisions of food for the unknown journey that lay ahead for him?" And Ahimelech came out, the chief of the Kohanim, and he said, who is more loyal than your son-in-law David? Right? Maybe you should not have said that. But why would we get involved in a family dispute? We did not consult with any higher, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what the status should be. If someone came and asked us for help, we gave them a lending hand. And, you know, Ahimelech had only nice things to say to Saul, but Saul did not show any mercy. And so he said that you're going to be put to death. And the interesting thing was the Nabi reveals that Saul turned to his army and surrounded these Kohanim and said, put them to death. And the army of Saul refused to listen. However, when he asked Doeg Adomi, Doeg took out a sword and he slew all 85 Kohanim. There was only one that ran away and found his way toward David to reveal to him the story about what had happened. So what do we make about this story? The Medrash in Vayikra Rabba explains a rather cryptic message. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see through a crystal ball, as we had discussed a little while earlier, a prism. And this would allow him to see the future Nevi'im, the future Gedolei Hadar, everybody from the people that are very wealthy and influential to the people that are not so wealthy but also influential. And he turns and he sees that Shaul HaMelech, the first king of the Jewish people, falls by the sword. So the Medrash brings down and says, very cryptic, how is it possible, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yidak b'cheres, how is it possible that Shaul HaMelech would fall by the sword? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers three words, Emar el HaKohanim, go speak to the Kohanim. And we don't know what that means, but Rabbi Mansour has suggested that it refers to the Kohanim in the town of Nov. It refers to the lack of consistency. Because if we look back at the Pesukim, we will find something a little bit deeper, a little bit more granular. The Pasuk says, Atalech liyakisas Amalek. You go and kill Amalek. Vecharantam es kol ashalov. And vanquish everything. Velo sachma olav. And don't show mercy. And so, Shaul HaMelech, 6 Pesukim later, says, the Pasuk says, Vayachmo Shaul ba'am al Agag. And Shaul had mercy on the people and on Agag. And it says, "Va'amita batzon va'bakar, va'mishnah va'akarim va'akol atov." He had mercy on all of the fine sheep, the fine oxen, the vineyards, anything that was good, and he did not destroy these things. But anything that didn't look so good, v'chol amachah nim v'zah v'namas osah achrim, that he destroyed. So when we contrast this action, then the Pesukim are quite clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling a message, "V'lo sachma olav." And then if we compare that to the pasuk by the Kohanim, it says, "Vayom haMelech Doeg Sabato ufaga beKohanim, vayisav Doeg Adomi vayiskab hu beKohanim, vayomas vayomahu shmonim bechamisha ish nosei eifod bad." And the king said to Doeg, "Go ahead and fulfill my mission of my directive of killing these Kohanim." And there was no hesitation. There was no mercy shown. And these Kohanim fell by the sword of Doeg Adomi. And so I think the message over here is very clear, that in life we have to be able, especially if you want to be a leader, we want to be a leader. If you want to be average, then you can be somewhat inconsistent. But if you want to be a leader, if you want to demonstrate royalty, you have to show a form of consistency. And we have to always show, you know, a favor. If we're going to show mercy toward the general population, then surely we will show mercy toward our own family. And if we want to be consistent about it and not show any mercy at all, then it has to be consistent throughout. There's a story that's told about Alexander the Great, that he was inspecting his troops one day and he noticed that there was one particular soldier that was sloppy. And he said to him, "Soldier, what is your name?" And the soldier answered, "Sir, it is Alexander." So the great leader was stunned by this moment for a moment and he said, "Well, either change your name or change your behavior." So the message extends also to a secular interaction, even with one supervisor, that this implies that somebody who, you know, shows up to work, he shows up to work at a steady pace, at a time that's consistent, and that the work and the outcome of the work is what is anticipated. Because with consistency, that draws about predictability. And when you have consistency and predictability, you have an expected outcome. And you know that you can rely on someone, even when it comes to, let's say, minyan, learning, all these things have to, we have a 10 to 10 for 10, right? So there's a certain form of consistency that we are a nation that was born before time existed, yet is very much bound by time. As the Pasuk says in Zohar, Kaddish, not the Pasuk, but the statement, Yistakol Baraisa or Bariyama, Kaddish Baruch Hu looked into the world and created Klai Yisrael, right? Why? Bishvil Yisrael, because of the Jewish people. because of the Jewish people that are called Reshit. Reshit Bikurecha, Reshit Bikanecha, Reshit that Klal Yisrael is considered the first. B'ni B'chol Yisrael, you're my firstborn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations of us, and we have expectations of not only ourselves, but the family, our co-workers, everybody that surrounds us. And so this, if we're able to incorporate this ideal of being consistent, then we will elevate ourselves, our own self-esteem, and advance our divine expectation that we have of Mamlachas Kohanim, the Kadosh, that in fact we are all a nation of priests, right? And we are a holy people. And in that way, hopefully, we will always live up to the dictum of Yeshaya Navi, who had said that we should always be a beacon of light unto the nation. So with that, I give everyone the bracha that we should find consistency in our lives. We should seek it out. We should emphasize it. And we should grow from it. And we should be successful in applying it. Mordechai Plotzker wishing you a successful week, a week filled with consistency and predictability, and God willing, much success. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.